Amen. Yeah, so I was thrilled by what Brother Rogers said about that they have 15, I think it's 15 that are now in homes. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. He called last night and he said, well, yes, we're not just going to feed them. We want to make them citizens of the kingdom out there. And that's a great thing. Did you tell him what he said last night? He called and he just said, pray for us, because he said, it's like, I don't know too much about Africa actually. So, but they're in Kisii, they're in Kenya, and they're in high places. And that's only fitting. But it's also an area where it rains a lot. And then it rains a lot and it can get cold. And he said, so pray for the children. It's raining a lot, so we need God to do something, because we don't want them to get pneumonia or anything like that. And I asked him, I said, well, they don't have blankets. Well, we don't have blankets right now. And, you know, they're feeding them now. That's good. They're stronger. But I said, well, how much do blankets cost? He said, well, I wasn't thinking about buying blankets. I was thinking that our God can do something. And I said, well, maybe that's what God wants us to do, but we'll see. I'm waiting to hear from him. I don't have my phone, so waiting to hear from him. I wrote to him before I came over and said, so how's it going? Are the children warmer? And we'll see. But my heart, Vicki, first thing she said was, we wouldn't want our kids not to have blankets. I wouldn't want to not have a blanket in my bedroom, I'll tell you that. When that air conditioner's running, it's cold. So anyway, we will see, but the Bible says that it's nothing for God to help. And I marvel at the goodness of God and how he allows us. We're a little church, kind of, sort of. But we minister to a big place all over the world. You know, we have opportunity on Facebook to talk about the goodness of God if we want. You know, but we also, he's given us a privilege. I think about that we can be a significant impact on an orphanage. And I mean, there's orphanages in South Dakota too, I suppose. There's places where we could, but I think about them. Most of these children are real. I mean, they're orphans, and many of them saw their parents killed in some kind of war or another, you know. And when I think about them, when he called, it was 4 o'clock in the morning over there. And he said, well, my normal thing is I get up at 3 and have my prayers and my time with the Lord. And then at 4, I have devotions with the children. I don't know which one of my children would have liked me to get them up at 4 o'clock for devotions. Because then they have to eat, and then they have to be to school. How would you like to get 60 to 90 kids to school each morning? Jordan was famous for getting there right at the bell. Like, he timed it. But anyway, that and the Philippines and the places that we are a part of, you know, and God knows that we're a part of that, and I'm so thankful for you and for the other people who faithfully pray and take part in what we are able to do. So I have a praise report too. You know, it's good to notice God. We should look for God. I'm encouraging the people at jail. I said, you know, in your pod, you know, look for God. You know, you can look under the chair to see what God's got there, you know. And somebody will think you're crazy and you'll say it's just Jesus. But anyway, we're getting ready to go over to the jail, and I ran the dog over to his resting place while we're gone, and got ready and got in the vehicle, and we were like 3 miles west when I said, oh, I don't have my phone. And Vicky said, and I said, that'll be all right. I can just go. She said, are you sure you don't need it? And I thought, maybe I do. Because sometimes I get contacted and stuff like that. So I turned around and I came back. Phone was not in the house. Nowhere that I could find. And so I, praise the Lord, it came to my mind, well, I got a short route that I ran him around the ditch and over there, and so it wouldn't be like I'd have to run 5 miles. I knew what probably happened, but I got one pair of pants that it'll bounce out of my pocket, and so I was going to go retrace that. I'm going to, the window's getting smaller to get there in time, but now I was wanting to do it, and so Vicky called my phone. And I came out, I was about to tell her, I'll be done, I got to run real quick around the route. And she called my phone, she said, I called my phone, and the person on the other end said, who is this? And it was the sheriff. Who is this? He said, well, this is Vicky Day. Well, I have Roger's phone, I'll bring it over. Amen. You know, thank God, shout out to Danny Velchek, he found it and took it to the sheriff. I mean, and the sheriff came, and it was her day off, but she brought me my phone, and I just said, praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I just, God has to get all, oh boy, you were lucky. No luck involved in it. It was just the goodness of God. I'm going to always give the goodness of God the shout out. Whenever something good happens, it's got to be God, right? You know, and so We'll give him thanks for that, for how great is our Lord. So that was the one praise report. Here's how I think God did it. I got to find out exactly where he found it, but as it came out of my pocket, the Lord must have caught it and set it down. There's not a scratch on it. All in good shape. It must have come out in the grass and not on the road, or maybe it came out on the road, didn't matter. Car might have ran over it, but it wouldn't matter. God was taking care of it. Now, I don't want that to happen. I don't want the praise report that says, oh, my phone was run over, but it's still working. You know? But you know something? I use my phone a lot. A lot. And maybe, well, actually, anyway, we won't go into that. But we do take care of things that are important to us, right? We do. And work at being holy. Isn't that a good thought? Did you grab the devotion? Work at being holy. Well, that's because I couldn't find it, and I didn't have much time. I was searching through my. I know where it might be, but I can't get to it just yet. You got it for me, praise the Lord. Good. Anyway, but it's you know, the scripture says to work at living at peace. Ephesians 4:31 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior." Now, when I read that, I thought, you know, that sort of is like God started a list that could have gone on for like Could have gone on like a genealogy and somebody, you know. He could have named everything. Every single thing. But he capsulized it in every evil behavior. Get rid of them. That's not unreasonable, is it? I mean, it really isn't. So, and then it goes on to say, work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life. Now, I'm in the New Living Translation, and obviously my...
Hebrews 12:14.
Hebrews? Oh, I didn't think I was that far when I did. But okay, Hebrews 12:14. Good. Well, I'll put that in later. Anyway, but work at living at peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. Work at living a holy life. Now, what's a holy life? It's a heart, the life that puts God first, isn't it? That's all it is. Putting God's preferences first. And it takes work. It takes work. It's a lifetime of work. Because there's always an opportunity to return to God. You know? Because we can drift. We can drift into something that isn't, you know, work at living at peace with everyone. Everyone? We can have peace around everyone. We can have peace. Sometimes we better be cleaning the lint off and brushing ourselves up like we have to do to get cat hair off or something. I mean, we sometimes got to be ready because we know we're going into a tough spot. Right? But you got to work at it. It's not, well, you know, can't be perfect. We're all being perfected, but the question would then be from God, what would you like to be? Can I show you a better way? You know? Yesterday, wonderful husband that I am, I was making eggs for my wife. In the middle of preparing to make the eggs, the order sort of changed, which makes no difference. I was making them. And my peacemaker came and said, well, you know, there's a better way. Well, I'm not stupid. I know that there's a better way. I know that there's a different way. I know. You know, and I what I do is I think it's smart and she hates it, but what I do is I just shut up because I'm not going to say anything that's going to make things better. I just kind of hum. That probably makes her mad. I don't know, you know. But I went ahead and the ones that I made the first batch, I put those on my plate because I thought they looked good. And then I tried to improve, and it doesn't make any difference, you know. But you know, I don't know. I thought my you know, I'm thinking things like we've been married for almost 50 years. I've done this before, you know. But she's thinking after 50 years, you should be smarter than that. I don't know. But you know, you got to work at living in peace with everyone. And sometimes the greatest work takes place in our own house. You know? It does. Unfortunately, that's sometimes where it's required the most. We don't expect as much elsewhere, I don't know. But work at it. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. Make a decision. Make a decision as a Christian when we pray and we ask Jesus into our heart, we don't really realize it, but we're making a decision for a holy life. It's kind of like sometimes people get to that point, they say, wait a second, that's the rest of the story. I'm what I was looking for. I was looking to get saved because I knew I needed saving. You might need improving too, you know? But God tells us to come as we are, right? Come, just come. Just as you are before your God. But when you come just as you are before your God, would it be so bad if you left a little different? You know? I am not perfect. And sometimes I think I'm so not perfect compared to what I should be, but I'm thankful that I don't have to measure it. I just need to go, well, he's still working on me. That's okay. That's okay. We just can't have the attitude, now just stay away, you've done enough. Let's continue on in the grace of God. And it takes work. It takes more than, you know, going to church. It takes spending some time with God. Now the great thing is we can work at being holy 24/7. No matter what we're doing, our eyes can be on God. Our thoughts can be on God. You know? Not just when it's down to the nitty-gritty, oh, help God, but you know, help me before I get there, Lord. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. It's not too much to ask for God to ask us to do that. And it's not too much for him to expect for us all to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I didn't know it. I want to tell you that, well, you've seen him on a video, so you've heard Roger speak. Well, he's a English degree in English teacher. I said, no wonder you speak better English than I do, you know? But I'm American. We Americans speak American. They took British training. They speak proper English. So they think. No, they don't think. But it is that it's proper, you know. It's proper English. And we just speak American. And there's nothing wrong with American. I like American. But you know, I mean, he is an English teacher saved out of the Mormon faith into the Christian faith, raising orphans to be Christians, leading a large church and a number of churches that he's established around Africa in our name. Hosanna restorations everywhere in Africa, he says, Daddy. Okay, so, okay. Anyway, and to get a degree, you know, you have to work, right? We study. We study to go to school. We like some of it. We study it. We don't like it so much. We don't necessarily study it so hard, you know. But we do have to. And then we get a job and we work. If we're like John, we retire and then our son bosses us around. I'm just kidding. It's amazing these ideas that these kids have. They're thinkers. I don't know that I had any ideas for my parents. I guess I was a bad child. I didn't give them all that advice. Well, anyway, you know, whatever we do, but the Bible says, so whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. If everything that we do heartily as unto the Lord, we're working at being holy. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. The Bible tells us, get rid of all filthy language out of your mouth. You know? I'm always amazed when I hear people say, well, yeah, I'm still working on that, and that's okay. We should still be working on that, I guess, if we still have to work on that. I don't particularly have to work on that. That's gone. That's gone. You know? It's gone. But then that doesn't mean that I don't say things that I shouldn't say. Because they don't have to be filthy. They can be criticizing and complaining and all that kind of stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff, when we've talked about this before, there's a lot of stuff that isn't our business. But we got a lot we could say about it. You know? We just do. And it takes work to say the wrong thing too, you know. But God set a seal over my mouth and also helped me to hear what you say after I say. And sometimes it's funny, Vicki gets up and she comes to talk to me and I don't understand. So, oh, you don't have your hearing aids in, huh? I say, actually, I do. And I don't say, well, you mumble in the morning, because I don't know that that's true. But I don't always hear. I don't. A lot of that's because I just don't pay attention. Not to her, to other people. I always pay attention to her. What's that look about, John? My tone or hers? Hers. Well, John always listens to you, doesn't he, Vicki? Yeah, as the eyes roll, yeah. Some things are more important to hear, you know. And honestly, haven't you had the experience of when you are thinking about somebody, something, and somebody's trying to talk to you, and you're still trying to think about, when you're thinking about, I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about something else, I might hear the voice, but I don't hear what they're saying, you know. And since I always think about important things, I'm the pastor after all, I'm always thinking important things, right? Yeah, no, that's not true. But I'm thinking, I'm glad that I'm thinking, you know, it's good that I'm thinking, and usually I'm thinking enough to not say something that's going to get me in trouble. And that's a good one, you know. So there's a, I don't know about your house, but in our house, there's a lot of, excuse me, I'm sorry. What was that you said? You know? Now there's a holy thing about that kind of conversation. If somebody says, excuse me, I didn't hear you, there's a spot for holiness to kick in and to kindly and gently just say it again. Not, you never listen to me. This is the way it always goes. I know what you're doing. You don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing sometimes, you know. But we have those things that come up. And, you know, those aren't big things you wouldn't think, but they are practicing. They're working at holiness. If it creates peace instead of division, it's holy. You see, holiness isn't holy and mighty. It's just life dedicated to God. You know? Now, everyone who calls themselves a Christian should desire to have a life that is pleasing to God. We didn't pray to have our sins forgiven so we could get away with everything else. No. But we also didn't know necessarily the first time that we prayed. You know, sometimes people just respond to this feeling that they have. Last week I had a young man and we were talking about something and I don't remember what I said, but he said, yeah, but look at me. I never been to a church. I never had anything to do with the church. I want to get saved. I hadn't even preached the best stuff yet. He just needed to be in the presence of God. God called him out of his pod, and he didn't waste time. He wanted to get to God. And I mean, I want to get saved. I hadn't told him, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. I hadn't told him, I wouldn't tell him that anyway. Because the only thing that's important is the goodness of God. But there he was. God answered him. His life needed help, and God said, I got something for you. Come on. You know? Our lives are a presentation of the goodness of God. There's a lot of people that we run into that don't come in here, that maybe don't even go to church, that maybe do go to church, that might want to get saved. Now, we could say, well, they need to get saved, but they might want to get saved. It may be like there's a stirring in their hearts and they just don't know. It's like they might be like me when we went to that Bible study, and I was just like this, leaning against the threshold of a door and this thing, and I just said, I need help. What is it? You know? Well, I need help. They didn't use the word save, so I don't even know what I said. But I said, because I just kept waiting for that. Something that told me, okay, you're okay, you know. And when I said that, this guy said, well, that's between you and God. Okay. What do I do? Well, that's between you and God. So we just kept seeking, didn't we? And finally we decided for ourselves that we must be on the right path, because that's all we think about. For so long I lived without you, now all I do is think about you. Father, won't you please use me? The things that came out of my mouth I just didn't understand, but they were the prayers that got me this far loving God. And they'll take me the rest of the way. He that has begun the good work in you will continue it, you know? And so even if somebody doesn't particularly want to move ahead, God's still working to move them ahead, you know? And maybe you're the jumper cables that help them start. Maybe their start has been grinding. Maybe they've been searching, but it just never started. Maybe what? Who knows? But you might have the words. You might have the smile. You might have the encouragement. Who knows? But you see, working at holiness is being prepared at every opportunity. Every opportunity. I'll give a shout out to my coach. I'm just enjoying listening to him. And this week he said, you know, if nothing's changed, maybe you need to think about it. That's pretty harsh language to Lutherans. Sorry, I'm not knocking them. That's what he said, you know. We should be changing. We should be changing. We should dare and say, what's changed? You know, if you think about it, every day there's been a change. Sometimes maybe it's just changed back because you were sinking, or maybe sometimes, you know, but something's happened where God has worked in your life and it changed. Even if it's, I should have known better, that's a change. How could I have forgotten? That's a change. Change me, Lord, and I will be changed. See, that's a heart that is set on God and that is being perfected, and some days might be a day full of perfection, and some days might be a week full of perfection. Some days might be a year full of perfection. That young man that said, I want to get saved, he just transformed 22 years. Just like that. Bang. I hope I get to see him today, but he might be out by now. So I hope I get to see him at Walmart. I don't know, you know. I know he's more perfect now than he was before he called upon the Lord. And now I just pray that he's got a virus that he can't kick, you know. See, that's what we need. We need to submit yourself, therefore, totally unto God. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We hear these verses. We know these verses. Do we live these verses? Because that's what's in us. We are not comfortable unless we're living. This book was written to everybody. Every single person this book was particularly written to. And God has things in this book for every single person. You know? Very special things, especially for every person. John 15:16 just blesses my heart, because I do. I remember the first time that I was reading and I came to that, and God just said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." Now, I read that, I think, probably many times before that particular time. And I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know that I was questioning. I don't know that I was seeking anything. I was just devouring the Bible, probably devouring it and not paying attention to it. I don't know. But he specifically, I read that, I said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." And he just stalled me right there. "You didn't choose me, Roger. I chose you." What were you thinking? I mean, he got asked that by a lot of people, I know. You know, what were you thinking, choosing him? "And I chose you, and I ordained you, that you might produce fruit, and that your fruit might last. So that anything you ask of me, I will do." I just don't have that down pat yet. I need to work at that. I ask him for lots of stuff, but I don't ask him for lots of stuff for me. And every time I read one of those lines, I know that he's talking to me. About, I meant you asking, you know. Well, I pray for Vicky. Okay, I'll ask again when you heal her. No, I don't go with that attitude. No, not at all. But you know, I mean, that's really the biggest stopper for me. Once I get past the fact that you didn't choose me, this wasn't your idea, you're not that smart, Roger. I chose you. You tell everybody I don't make mistakes. Well, I chose you. Okay, then, let's get on with this. You know, I'm looking at 50 years with the Lord being a graduation day for me. Something, not dying. I'm not going to do that. I don't have time. But you know, I mean, work at being set apart for God. When something else tries to come between you and your Savior, work it out of the way. You know? Vicky's poor kitty, Gracie, she has been unreasonably jailed. She is not allowed outside. Because she has got a vertical leap like this high, and she watches those hummingbirds. And I was right there to stop her when she just flew through the weeds and had that hummingbird in her mouth. And I was chasing her. And fortunately, Vicky doesn't know where the guns are or how to use them. She was Gracie was about to get an early entrance to heaven. I got too much money in that cat. We're not going to do that. And so she went to her meeting and she was mad. I prayed for her that she would even be able to pay attention, that it wouldn't just be a hummingbird on her mind. Gracie carried that thing around in her mouth, ran from me. Then she was out there and I saw her looking at something, and there was a little something on the ground, and I saw her and I thought, have you got that bird out there? So I went after her to get her. The bird got up, the bird jumped up and flew a little bit, but Gracie got her again. Finally, this is another praise report, by the way. Finally, she was underneath the deck, still checking that bird out. And I don't know if she had a word from God or fear of her mother, but she up and just walked away. I quickly ran, crawled underneath the deck, grabbed that little bird, wiped the slime off of it. She kind of moved. I thought, oh Lord, let this bird live. You know. So I was blowing on the bird to get the feathers dry, stroking the little bird, talking to the little bird. I think the little bird lost an eye. One eye didn't look good, but it looked at me through the other one. My Savior. No, she looked at, you know. Anyway, so I would let her fly, and she'd fly a little ways, and then she'd hit the ground. I said, this ain't good. You know, she's going to have to fly further than that. I kept Gracie inside, of course. And finally, after many attempts, I went and got a cage out of the garage, and I put her in a cage, or him, I'm not sure which one it was, but it was a pretty little green one. Anyway, and it was tiny, just tiny. And I thought, my goodness, this has to be God. How could it live through that, you know? But it's because Gracie was afraid of Vicky, I think. I don't know what, but that little bird, and we kept doing, you know, little flight tests and things like that. And finally, the little bird was dry enough. And when we did the flight test, she got up higher into a tree. And so the next morning, with fear and trembling, I went out to look and see if she was under the tree or he was under the tree. But I found no body. And so I'm declaring that that little bird lived and is still flying around. I don't know if Vicky agrees with me or not, but I can't find the bird. And there's no cats around because we kept ours in the house, you know. And so now we do everything we can to keep that cat in the house. And if the cat sneaks out, yesterday I had to set up a rain sprinkler to set it out there where the hummingbirds are so that Gracie wouldn't want to get underneath them to jump up. And so we had this sprinkler going, and then we got Gracie back in, of course. And so she's imprisoned, and I'm not sure it's fair, but it's protecting someone else. And so, but praise the Lord. You know, even that the bird lived long enough for me to let it fly. And I don't know which one. I keep thinking that he might come up flying up to me and look at me with his one eye so I could see that it was him, but I haven't seen him yet. You know. But I see God in that. And I want to see God in everything. And I want to give him glory because in everything, he's worthy of our praise. And when we have made a determination that God is worthy to be praised, guess what? We're practicing holiness. And if we desire, you know, if we desire to get bad words out of our mouth, then we are practicing holiness. And And there's a lot of things in our life that we need to keep caged up. Like we keep Gracie caged up. And we need to press it down. We need to press everything. Get rid of everything. Every manner of evil. And don't try to decide what's evil. If it doesn't bring glory to God, it leans toward darkness. Right? Just let God work. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Pure and holy. Tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary to you. This is my prayer for me. This is my prayer for all who call on the name of Jesus. Don't sit on the bench. Get up and go. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will go all over the world telling of the goodness of God. Lord, I pray that we would make a determination in our hearts that everybody in our world, we pray for those we'll never get close to, but those that we do get close to, we pray for them, Lord, that they would receive a hunger in their hearts to be holy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.